Right now, you're in tune to Lightning FM with Daddy Fridge and Mr. T, and we're here with an artist that was born here in the UK, London, Lewisham, on the 10th of June, 1961. He was born Max Alfred Elliott and is the second youngest of 9 children. A lot of people know this artist as the king of lovers rock. It's none other than the one and only Maxi Priest. Welcome back home, sir. Thanks for giving us your time here at Lightning FM.
enough respect. You gave away my whole details there, bro. Whoa, I hope the feds ain't after me, man. But it's all good. Hey, it's nice to be here.
Okay, let's start by talking about how you came to be Maxi Priest, the days of Saxon Studio International. Tell me a bit about how this helped you to be where you are today.
Damn, that is so far back. So, so far back. Obviously, the name is through 12 Tribe of Israel. Okay. Originally, Levi. You know, you're from your Reuben, Simeon, your Levi, Judah, and so forth. And according to which month you're born is your tribe. I'm sure you know this. Yeah. And my month is June, and that makes me Levi. But the Levites are the priests of the 12th tribe.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Max Levi never really worked so well. Mm. And then at the same time, you had Philip Levi. So, you know, I kind of went, you know, let's take this one step. Maxi Priest. Which is kind of unusual. I don't think there's anybody else out there named Maxi Priest.
For real, one and only. Maxi, you're one out of 2 reggae acts to have an American Billboard number one, which was close to you in the 1990s. Also set the night to the music hit the chart in 1991. And the collaboration you done with Shaggy, that girl in 1996, hit the American chart as well. How do you think this has helped you, knowing that your music is not just UK and JA based, but it's all across the world?
I think, you know, no matter which kind of success you have, everything helps. Everything helps. I mean, from school to sound system is a step. From sound system to playing in clubs and parties and stuff like that is a step, because you can have a sound system and it just sit and it don't go nowhere. So we created like that live performance around the sound system that kind of gave us a buzz. So that kind of was a step as also. And then after that now, you know, people hearing about you, that you're singing. I mean, I can remember when I was on sound system signing autographs and stuff like that. You know, myself, Levi, Smiley Culture, Tipper Irie, Pata Bantan, Peter Kin, who else? Mello, who can I, Daddy Colonel. There's been so many guys that was around the situation. But all of those moves were steps. And then from there now to the studio with Barry Boom, Paul Robinson, yeah, known as Barry Boom, who took me into the studio, and we spent the money out of our own pockets to kind of go into the studio and record a lot of the stuff that I was doing on the sound system. That in itself is a step. And then from there now to being able to, you know, put a band together and then playing, or even before that, doing PAs, you know, personal appearances with Smiley Culture and all these cats, you know. I remember when we got into it, those things you did free, you know. And then me and Smiley kind of moved the goalposts a little bit, and we started to get paid for that. So we were going to places like Birmingham, spending like 3 weeks in Birmingham, using it as a base, and going to Manchester, Leeds, Bradford, Wolverhampton, all these different places, performing in bars, clubs, party. You know, I can remember performing on a one-leg table, you know. I don't know if that's your girl calling you, but it's all good. Anyway, but you know, all of those things were moves, and my point that I'm making is, if you don't kind of make those moves and those kind of sacrifices, then you cannot expect to kind of move the thing along and climb the ladder. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And then from the PA situation, you know, me and Barry Boom created a band, Caution Band, and that consisted of his brothers, Jerry Lyons, and people like Bigger Morrison, Mafia, Floxy. You know, all these cats have passed through the Maxi Priest situation at some point in time. And then, you know, again, that is a progression. So then from there now to sign into a major record company, and then I spent, what, 17 years with Virgin Records. That whole thing is a progression, you know, and if you don't appreciate the moves as they go along, then you got to remember that, you know, there's a time when it's going to slow down, or it's going to, you know, you got to kind of go backwards. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's about appreciation and hard work, I guess.
Okay. You're an artist that travels the world a lot. How do you think reggae music is doing over the world at the moment? As years ago, we were told we were living in a dream, and a lot of people tried fighting against the reggae music.
Reggae music has always had a platform. Always had a platform. Even when we were not doing so well in the national charts. You know, people like, obviously, Bob Marley, Jimmy Cliff, Burning Spear, Steel Pulse, Aswad, you know, all of these foundational groups and artists, Dennis Brown, you know, Freddie McGregor, all of them set a platform for people like myself to come along and you know, reap the benefits of a lot of hard work that they did. So what I'm trying to say is that reggae music has always been around the world. It's always been around the world, but never been really justified in the media. You know, that means, you know, both radio and magazine, newspapers, and all those kind of things. We've always been a music where people kind of use, you know, take a piece out of it, add it with some R&B, take a piece out of it, add some to some pop, take a piece out of it, add it to some house. You know, people tend to kind of, you know, use the Caribbean vibe. I don't want to sound negative, but I think a lot of that also is to do with the business side of things. You know, we've never really before had a structure in the reggae industry pertaining to management, promotion, and stuff like that. Not like how the R&B world would have. You know, your brethren is a lawyer, your brethren's an accountant, your brethren has studied management, he studied promotion, you know, he studied how to make videos and stuff like that. It's only, you know, in my generation and the generation that's here now that you see a lot of those kind of things are self-controlled. You know, entrepreneurs, young guys now are taking on the videos and making them for themselves. Mm. And, you know, so it's blossoming from all of those progressions that were there from earlier. Okay. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think that where we lose is not respecting a lot of the past work. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I want to go on to a tune that went mad here in the UK. It was a collaboration done with Richie Stevens and My Girl This. How did that tune come about?
Well, you know, me and Richie Stevens has got along very, very well for many, many years. I don't know if you remember when Richie had some chart success over here with Loose Ends and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, but even before that, you know, me and him had a relationship, you know, tight, bridging, very, very tight, you know what I'm saying? Musically, as artists, you know. So it weren't nothing for me and him to kind of sit together and write tunes. You know what I'm saying? There is some more songs that he has in his studio that we've done together that, you know, in time, you know, these things will happen. Mm-hmm. But it's not unusual for me and most of the artists to collaborate. Okay. You know, I don't know if you've heard the one with me and Freddie McGregor.
No, not yet.
Well, then, you know, that's out there too. Mm. You got to pick that out. You know, me and Dennis collaborated. We got along very well. Me and Beres, You know, it's just not unusual for us to collaborate because, you know, since when I came into this business, it's never ever been about Maxi Priest alone. It's about all of us. It's about all of us coming together and collaborating together to make a movement, not only for myself, not only for the music, but for as a nation on a whole. You know, the music stands for something. The music has been around here for many, 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 many years, and it's up to us to make it grow and be a reckoning force in the world.
Maxi, please give us a few lines out of it, if you don't mind.
Out of what?
Out of my goodness. Come on.
Don't push yourself in a mekana, cause I'm my girl this. You just come on and me de on ya, and me I lock down this.
My gosh. Okay, let's talk about UB40. What's happening with Maxi Priest and UB40 at the moment?
Well, you know, it's strange because we did a collaboration together, just like any other normal group or artist would work together. And it's just strange because we were touring in Australia at the time. And Ali, they were going through their problems. Ali was deciding to leave the band and they were splitting up. And they had already had a lot of bookings and stuff like that pre-planned to this situation. And they asked me, alongside the collaboration that we did, if I would accompany them and do some shows with them. But there's also another brother, Duncan, who is the lead singer, and who is the lead singer of UB40 today, who is Ali's brother. You know, unbeknown to the world, he's been there all the time, but never really had the opportunity to kind of play in this kind of level of the game. Okay. You know, and so, you know, with Ali moving, me and them doing a duet, them bringing me on the road with them, plus his brother, kind of added a little bit of a spice to the live situation, right? But then, of course, the media jumps on it, and the media kind of goes, well, then, you know, Maxi Priest is the new lead singer for UB40 and so forth, which is not so. You know, we're very good friends. We did a collaboration just like any other normal artist, and it's media that's kind of run it out of proportion. But at the same time, they say, you know, any news is good news. You know, but, you know, the media got hold of it. I wasn't about to chase it every move that the media makes. It runs fast. So, you know, me having the opportunity here now to talk to you about it is really, I hope, setting the card straight, you know.
For real. When you were growing up, which artist did you look up to? Who inspired you?
Oh, my God. I think everybody knows that. It's Dennis Brown. You know, Dennis Brown, I think, has been the pioneer for, if not 80, 90% of the reggae industry. You know, and I think that if anybody kind of denies that fact, then you're kind of living in your own bubble, you know. You know, I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with Dennis on the road, touring. You know, times that will live with me forever, you know, because that is a big dent in our industry when we lose a man like Dennis Brown, you know. I can remember when I was growing up, it was like, okay, there's 10 new reggae tunes, but, you know, 5 of them is Dennis Brown. You know, or even if he had 2 out of the 10, his 2 is the 2 that's going to get played. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For especially for vocalists, you know. And then one has to also remember the kind of moves that he made with people like Big Ute.
Yeah.
you know, collaborating with the DJs and you know, the vocal, him collaborating as vocalist with the DJs, you know, those were very historical moves, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you were around when he and Big U came to England and they had the big concerts and stuff like that.
I don't think I was gone.
You know, but you know, I've been fortunate to be able to spend a lot of time with Dennis and Gregory and Freddie McGregor. You know, three foundation of the music industry. And they embraced me into the music scene, into the music world. They legitimized me in the business. You know, they came here, they would vibe with me, and they would go back to America, they would go back to Jamaica, and they would like, yo, look to England, say a youth are coming to England, check for that youth there, so listen out for that little youth there, so by the time I got on the plane and I got to certain places, through that inspiration and also through the sound system, Saxon sound system, the tapes and stuff like that that used to spread, I had already landed, do you know what I mean, before I even got there. You know, but again, through dedication, hard work, and perseverance, really, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of young people that are getting into the reggae business. Do you have any tips for them?
My tip to anybody, no matter whatever it is that you're doing, is first God, you know. First yourself, God, and somewhat... perseverance, you know, whatever it is, you know, if you're gonna put 120% into something, then, you know, you might end up with 70% of it. If you're only gonna put 10% of it, then don't look for the rest. You know, it's as simple as that, I think.
As we're talking about young talent, please tell me a bit about Marvin, your son, and Bennington. Are you doing any work together at the moment, as I see a strong performance from them and yourself at the London shows here a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, you know, me and my kids, them, you know, both Ryan and Marvin have written quite a few songs. Full 100, there's quite a few songs that me and them have written, and they've got tons of songs that they've written, you know, but obviously before that they had to kind of go through that phase, that English R&B phase, that the rapping game, you know, all that kind of thing, which, you know, and I don't want to knock all of that, but I just kind of felt that a generation came along and almost bypassed their cultural roots, you know, their cultural background. You know, and kind of steered kind of wide a little bit, and then I think that they're kind of falling back now, because they kind of find that there was a void there. You know, you're tapping into this R&B music, which the R&B people, you know, they don't really allow you in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a very tight net, as you can see with the likes of Estelle and people like that, you know, Omar, you know, some work, some don't. Why did some work? Why didn't some work? Maybe because somebody like Jay-Z kind of goes, hey, we're bringing you in it.
Yeah.
Hey, Kanye goes, hey, we're bringing you in it. You know, Rihanna from Barbados, normally... there's so many great artists in Barbados and Trinidad and places like that, but they never see the light of the day because the R&B world dictates who they bring in it. You know what I'm saying? As well as in England, there is abundance of talent in England.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think that we kind of steer away from our culture. You know, that kind of puts us in a no man's land.
Yeah.
You know, musically, you know, and culturally, as a person as a whole liberty. You know, you kind of get stranded in this void, not knowing whether you're West Indian or whether you're English or whether you're, you understand? And I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say. And, you know, that affect the music scene, because we fought so hard to create this reggae scene in England.
Yeah.
You know, that Jamaica supported. They were a part of it. They supported it wholeheartedly. Mm. And then there's a whole generation that came up and bypassed it. And it just kind of fizzled away. And then now, a lot of the younger artists, them are going, you know, can we get into the dance hall? And the dance hall is going, well, yo, we're not really interested in the yoga again. You know what I'm saying? Because these things just don't come overnight. It's years and years of relationships. Do you know what I'm saying? I've had to work on my, you know, traveling, my interaction with the artists them in Jamaica. You know, socializing, you know, being a part of the whole thing. It is not just an overnight thing. You know?
For real. Okay, last but not least, what future plans and projects does Maxi have in the near future? And is there a new album on the way, as I have heard rumors?
Well, yeah, there is a new album. And, you know, it's been a while since I put out a new album. I think it's about 3 years now, maybe, something like that. But I'm a strong believer in you know, too much of anything is not good.
Okay.
You know, I don't really like to do, you know, 4 albums a year or 2 albums a year or not like that. You know, I've never ever really been into that. You know, you can look at a lot of the artists that did that you can hardly hear any of the tunes played now.
For,
you know what I'm saying? Because your ears kind of get tired. No matter how good the artist is, sometimes your ears kind of get a bit tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. So, and then also I kind of pattern myself from the major artists, them, like, you know, like your Sting, your Phil Collins, your Bob Marley. I mean, Bob Marley's catalog is not that big. Do you know what I'm saying? It may seem so, but it's not that big as in terms of how many albums he did or stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And each album would spend a period of time soaking, you know? So people would remember the song. Whereas nowadays, the music business is so fickle. Here today, gone tomorrow. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know, DJs... I think it's madness, because I think sitting in a DJ seat, you're kind of going, boy, which one me for play? Which one me for play? Oh, follow the trend.
Mm.
Do you understand? Because you're spoiled with choices. Am I correct here? I mean, you're the DJ.
You're correct.
I think that it is, you know.
Every week.
Dime a dozen, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, for that, I give thanks that I'm still in it, you know, after 30 years. I'm still in it. I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? But it's not just... It's taking thought. It's taking thought. You know, you have to think about what you're doing. Plan. You know? You know, you have to have a kind of a plan to what it is that you're doing in the game. And I think the same with Beres and cats like that, you know? You know, you plan your future. And you plan your touring, so that you're not here every week. You're not here every weekend. You know, you get a bit monotonous and a bit boring. And I think that's what's happened to a lot of artists, is too much. Too much. You know? So I don't tend to really kind of jump to the fact of doing an album every year, every two for every year or so forth.
Okay, I hear that. Maxi, I can't just let you go like that. Before you go, please give us a few lines out of Wild World.
Wild World. Why Wild World? Why not I've seen so many things throughout my life. The only thing I've ever seen survive the test of time is the strength of your love. And when right seems wrong and wrong seems right, I'll be careful, I'll be strong. Whatever my eyes can see, my heart can feel. That's why I believe in love. Knowing my eyes can see, sure as the deep blue sea. That's why I believe in love. Yeah.
My gosh. Maxi, once again, thanks so much for giving us your time here at Lightning FM. Blessed love. Do remember to check out Maxi Priest on his website, www.maxipriest.com. Also his Facebook and MySpace page for all his tours and much more.
Blessed. Love, respect.